Former NHLer, former 400-goal scorer, analyst now on TSN, Ray Farrar, joins us once again for his weekly Wednesday chat. Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in the Boston airport, about ready to fly to Ottawa. I have Ottawa and McDavid and whoever he plays for tomorrow. That's kind of the way it seems right now, doesn't it? Like everybody wants to see McDavid. Oh, yeah, the Oilers are there, too. Everybody wants to see McDavid.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because 5-on-5, the best line for the Oilers last night was the Hall-Draisaitl line, 5-on-5. But McDavid, the goalie scored. You know, their power play was very good, and his unit basically got all the power play time because they were dominating when they were on the ice. And it's really remarkable, Ray, when you consider a three-month layoff, and it's only the kid's 14th NHL game, and he completely dominated an opposing team.
It is, you know, I didn't know exactly what I thought he would be like yesterday. You know, you have to take into consideration that he's starting from a higher platform than everybody else that comes into the league. You know, like he's just better. But to be able to do that, to really energize his team by just showing up in the lineup and then playing like that is really quite remarkable. I mean, there's no player like that, like this, since Crosby that's come in and that I can remember anyway. That, you know, and I guess Ovechkin too, but that people said, I got to see him. Oh, yeah, and Pittsburgh too. Or, oh, yeah, and Washington too. You know, like there's nobody, I would think, is saying tomorrow, yeah, I can hardly wait to watch Edmonton. Right or wrong, they're saying, I want to go watch McDavid. Like, that's what people want to see. He is, if he was rusty, I guess he'd bang that off in warm-up, because would it take him about 30 seconds to draw a penalty, and he was off and running. I mean, he's I don't even know how many superlatives you can use to describe what is in front of this kid, but just an amazing player to watch.
Now, I said that Columbus was the best possible opposition, worst goals against in the league, and it came to fruition. And
right. The
second best opposition is their next two games. You got Ottawa, who's given up the second most goals, and then Montreal, who's right now the worst team in the National Hockey League. Like, there are easier games at times, you know, much easier than if he had to play L.A., Washington, and Chicago his first three games. And being a former player, Ray, confidence, once you get it, man, it can you can run with it. And McDavid, you know, he talked about it. He wasn't as nervous last night as he was in his first NHL game, but he felt like it was kind of similar. But afterwards, he said, man, I feel relieved, and I feel like I got way more confidence. And that's got to be a scary thing for the opposition.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, he's not going to get 3 points a game. You know, like I'm reading some of the stuff that people are writing today, and they're like, you know, can you imagine when he gets into better shape? Like, what's he going to do, get 4 points a game?
Exactly.
You know, it's still a pretty damn good league, right? You know,
yeah.
There's going to be lots of rough days for him. There's going to be lots of days where the puck doesn't go for him. But as I said right at the top, Jason, he starts at a platform, at a beginning point that's so much higher than almost everybody else. He's better. He's faster. He is, like, watch him carry the puck. This was the thing that when I saw him the first time at the World Junior Tournament that really blew me away, is that he somehow seems like he's going faster than without the puck. I don't quite know how that's possible. I certainly couldn't go faster with it. I don't know too many guys that can. You know, you're lugging around a puck, and you got to keep a handle on it as opposed to just skating in a straight line. Yet he leaves guys behind him. Like, he drops checkers through the neutral zone like they're a fly. Like, they can't keep with them. And, you know, the thing that I was impressed on the goal last night was, you know, when he gets by Johnson, he kind of gets up on that right foot for a second, and it would be pretty easy to spin out of there, you know, like at that speed that he's going, and you lose your balance. But his balance is incredible. His edge work is, you know, is fantastic. And he gets himself back, you know, back on 2 feet to make that move, which is exactly the same move he beat Peter Mrazek with when he scored against Detroit. Add 15 pounds to him in a year or two, and when people bump into him, how much more sturdy he's going to be then. Like, that's what I talk about what's in front of him. I mean, he's going to be able to do things that other people, they can train and do all they want, but they don't have the same starting platform as Connor does. There's not many players that I watch that fill me with excitement anymore to go broadcast a game. I've done so many of them, and I've been around the league for 30 years now, and I can't wait to get to Ottawa to watch them tomorrow night.
Ray Ferraro, analyst on TSN, joins us. And Ray, what is it about the Senators that have them, leaking the second most goals? There's only two teams in NHL that average more than three goals against per game, and they're one of them. The Jackets are the other. What is it? Is it just bad personnel, bad system, bad forwards, bad defense? What is it in Ottawa this year that they can't stop a puck?
Well, quite frankly, Craig Anderson's had a pretty good year. And look at his numbers, and they won't tell you. And that's why, it's really dangerous to when you look at just statistical information or just analytic information. I do a lot of Senators games. There are a lot of games he's like a pinata in there. Eventually he's going to crack open. And he gives up a bad goal, and you can say, oh, yeah, he's got to have that one that went through his legs. But he just stopped 15 in a row that were from, 20 feet. They don't defend very well, Jason. Their defense is not very good, and they've not played very well. And there's a difference. There are players that are just, around the league that are, they're fifth, sixth, or seventh defensemen. And then there are players that just haven't had very good years. And, we're about 6 months or 8 months past that crazy run they had last year where they won almost every game going down the stretch. It's the same defense. The only difference is Greiba's not there. But it's the same defense. Patrick Wierkosz has had a really, really tough go. And he's on their second pair with Cody Ceci. Mark Mathot has not played his standards. And then he's been hurt. Their third pair, Collins, had a terrible year. So you have a couple of factors that go into the pot, which basically is they don't defend very well. They don't stop the cycle. And if Edmonton skates and gets in on the cycle tomorrow, they're going to get lots of shots. They're going to get 35 shots tomorrow. It's like a season-long futile chase defensively for Ottawa so far.
Ray, let's move on to a few other things. Dennis Wiedemann, 20-game suspension handed down by the National Hockey League. Obviously, he's going to appeal it. Now, it's a unique appeal process because it goes to Bettman first. And if he doesn't lower it, if he doesn't lower it below six games, which there's no chance he will do that, then he can go to an independent arbitrator. Part of me thinks the NHL went with this high number, knowing full well he'd appeal, and likely it'll get reduced by somebody a bit, because then at least the NHL can say, hey, we're looking out for our officials.
And they should.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even build a case, Jason. I don't know if I said this last week on the show the incident hadn't occurred when we talked, but I can't even build a case for an excuse for Wiedemann. There's nothing that I can come up with, even to make up a story that says, he should have got three games. Because even if you, let's go through this step by step. If you go with the defense that, he was dazed, that means somebody could hit Connor McDavid really hard in a game, and McDavid could crack that guy over the head with his stick and say, oh, I was dazed. And then because you've just set a precedent with Wiedemann, you'd have to let him go. That makes no sense. There's no way that can be part of the defense. To say he didn't see him, he's the only guy on the ice in a black and white sweater. He was right in front of him. Even though he said his head was down, he was looking up the whole way. So you got to, in my opinion, you got to toss that one out too. You can say that, he was surprised that he was there, but why would he cross-check him? I mean, I don't have an answer for that. I can't even begin to think of it, why he would do that. Why wouldn't you, if he was in the way all of a sudden, why wouldn't you just grab him? I can't even come up with a defense. And I will say this, the officials are a no-fly zone. That is no touch. And for those that have, I've seen people compare what happened that same night with Lucic in L.A. Man, that's in a scrum, and Lucic was trying to punch somebody, and he missed. And if you've ever been in a scrum and there's a bunch of fists flying around, you're not always sure what you're hitting.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, you're not that concerned. You're just trying to keep the flies off.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, we are now less than 4 weeks away. Trade talk is going to heat up all over the place. Dustin Byfuglien came out and said he'd love to stay in Winnipeg. If you're the Winnipeg Jets, I've been on record all year long. If I have to pick between Byfuglien and Ladd and I can only sign one of them, to me it's an easy decision. I'm taking the big defenseman all day over Andrew Ladd at 29 or turning 30 years of age, who's a winger and is supposedly asking for $6 million. There's no chance he's worth that.
Well, he might not be worth it, but there's lots of players not worth what they what we think. And then as long as there's one team willing to pay it, then he's worth it. To answer your question, I don't know many players that are as unique as Byfuglien in the league. Like where are you going to find that?
Mm-hmm.
If you move him, you better get a bounty back that makes it all seem. Like the package makes it seem worthwhile because you're not replacing Byfuglien. But you have to trust, if you're going to get Byfuglien signed, you have to trust that his commitment is going to last as long as the contract. Right? And that's a question mark. But, man, there's nobody as big that skates as well, that shoots as well, that, you know, can play in front of the net or play on the point on the power play. Like, there just isn't. I'm with you. I would... If I have to choose, that's where I'm going.
A few other teams. You were just in Boston. I know they were upset with their loss last night to the Toronto Maple Leafs. What do you make of this Bruins team, Ray? Are they a team that's good enough to make the playoffs but not good enough to do any damage? Or are they a team that you think is still in a big risk to miss the playoffs? What do you make of the Bruins?
I think they're like a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference. There are strengths and weaknesses to their team. One night, what looks like a strength is a weakness the next night. That's why that Eastern Conference, you go from number 4, Tampa Bay, to number 12, which is Montreal and Ottawa. And I think there's 6 points that separate them. You know, like there's no difference. And that's from 4 to 12. The Bruins' weak spot's on the blue line, for sure. They don't move the puck very efficiently, and I'd be shocked if they don't chase a defenseman before the deadline. Louis Erickson is the name you hear most often because he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year and having a very good year. Boston has 7 picks in the first 3 rounds. Again, they've got 2 picks in the first, 2 picks in the second. Oh, yeah, it's 2-2, 1-2 in the first 4 rounds. So 7 picks in the first 4 rounds. They had 10 picks last year. They can move one of those picks and Louis Erickson and get a significant addition to the blue line. So, I expect them to try to do that. They're in the playoffs right now. I think they can finish there, but it's not going to be easy for them. It's not like they're going to run away and hide and coast into the playoffs. I think they'll be there tooth and nail with about half a dozen teams fighting for the last 3 or 4 spots.
Ray Ferraro, analyst on TSN. Of course, he'll be calling for the TSN Ottawa region. The Oilers taking on the Senators tomorrow night. The Oilers, I know that you were in, so you probably didn't see the entire game. But Clendenning's a guy they've added in. They didn't have Justin Schultz. Klefbom still, undetermined when he's going to return from that staph infection, which is obviously, a very serious and very scary situation,
right?
And you don't know when it's going to come back. But, there's a lot of focus on the Oilers' blue line, Ray, and rightfully so. But I watched the game against Columbus last night, and I still see a lot of times the Oilers' forwards making wrong decisions with the puck, at the blue line in the neutral zone. How hard is that going to be for Todd McClellan to get out of the game of a lot of these players?
It might be a lot easier to get the player out of the game than it is to get the game out of the player. What I mean by that is that you can get seduced by the skill and the talent and the potential, but things have to change in Edmonton, and they will. They can't change overnight. Of course, the blue line needs to be better. They're not going to win with that blue line. It's just not going to happen for them. The best days of Reinhart and Klefbom and Darnell Nurse are in front of them. But it might not be this year. It might not be next year, right? They're young, and it takes time. Whether you can do what you can to speed it up, but it's going to take time. But that is an obvious place of improvement that they need. As far as up front, some guys play a style and they can play it. They can change for a little bit, but in the heat of the moment, their decision is the risky one. And, you know, I can speak to that because that was my mindset. You know, my mindset was always, and the game was different back then, but my mindset was to create something, was to, you know, I'd try a tough pass because I could see that if that pass gets through, we got something. Well, the coaches didn't always love that, right? And it cost me at times. So the changes that might need to be made might be what you're really looking at. A turnover in the middle of the ice, you can coach it out of a guy to a certain point. And if they don't get it relatively quickly, the fact of the matter is it's probably embedded.
It's interesting you mention that, Ray, because I think as an offensive player, you have to have that mentality to think, okay, I can make that play. And eventually, obviously, you weigh the options in your mind on when to make the high-risk plays and or the safe play. But does it ever get out of your game, or did you always have that? You just learned how to control the temptation to make the high-risk play?
Oh, it's always there.
Okay.
You just learn through experience what's an appropriate time to make a riskier play or a more dangerous play. And sometimes you get burned because, you know, we're sitting here talking about making a decision. In the course of a game, a guy's made three decisions while we're talking.
Yeah.
You know, like there's like when you hear like, oh, you know, it's a terrible puck decision, there's so much that goes into that. What if the defenseman's pass to the forward is wobbling a little bit? Oftentimes you can't tell. Well, you can't really do much with it. You got to settle it down to make a play with it. Or what if the pass, the defenseman waits a half a stride too long, and while waiting, that allows the other team to close in on what should be a pass completion and a play off the boards. So a lot of times the forward bears the brunt of it. Like you hear, you know, oh, the winger's got to get that puck out. Well, what if when he got, by the time the puck got to him, he had a sliver of hope to get it out? Like that, it's not just, you can't just hang that stuff on one player unless that one guy keeps doing it over and over and over again, and then you go, oh, wait a minute, he's not getting with the program. But, you know, look, Todd's an excellent coach, and his teams in San Jose were long lauded for their, you know, for playing a smart game. Now, they never got over the top, but there's other reasons for that, too. I would say in relatively short order, you'll see some different guys and some guys that maybe play a style that's not as, you know, as flammable, because that does hurt the Oilers from time to time, for sure.
Ray, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy that. I think this will be the first time you watch McDavid live tomorrow.
At the NHL, you bet.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it. Yeah, and
he's still wearing number 97, right?
Yeah, he is. And there are a few other guys
good
on the orders, but I'm sure that'll
okay,
be the one that you and many will focus on, as you should. He's pretty excited.
Yeah, I will. I'll try and jot down the other numbers in warm up. I'll be standing right there, so I'll try and get them right.
And then we'll see you in Edmonton next week.
Yep, I'm in for the Leafs game, and that's next Thursday. So yep. Looking forward to it.
All right.
And I guess I get the Grade A All Points Gregor tour of the new facility and stuff.
Oh well, I don't know if you want to go to the new facility. There's not much there yet, but we could probably manage that. But I can give you a tour.
Well, I want to go look at it because
I've
seen the old one since,
oh, yeah.
Well, since I'll, 19
I'll,
whenever. So.
I'll take you on a tour. We'll go for dinner. We'll have a few beers, and yeah, I'll take you on a tour.
Yeah, you bring your credit card on there. That's the way I work.
Okay, well, you bring some stories, and then I'm there.
We got it.
Okay, see you next Wednesday. All right.
Look forward to it.
Thank you,
Have a great week, Jason.